America's labor market heats up in spots. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We're awaiting the latest employment and unemployment figures from the Labor Department in just over an hour and a half. The number of additional names on payrolls should be up for February, perhaps closer to 200,000 after a disappointing 151,000 the month earlier. Despite an unemployment rate that's under 5%, many American workers have yet to see strong, sustained gains in their paychecks. But from the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman reports some employers are now competing more fiercely to land the top talent.
Amy Glazer of the national staffing and recruitment firm Adecco started getting calls early last year from more and more employers complaining they couldn't find qualified applicants. And she says it's only gotten worse.
Problems in the high-demand job areas such as engineering and technology, healthcare and customer service.
Now, Glazer lays some of the blame with employers. She says a lot of them aren't willing to raise wages very much, even as it becomes more of a candidate's market. And economist Michael Strain at the American Enterprise Institute says many employers also expect the moon.
Firms are looking for somebody who won't require training, be able to kind of hit the ground running on day one, and they're not able to find that.
Strain says the so-called skills gap might be less of a problem if employers would invest more in on-the-job training. But he doesn't think employers are ready to offer much higher starting pay. Not while there are still so many people dropped out of the labor force who could jump back in if the economy keeps improving. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.75%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.2% range, as if the Dow were up 27 points or so. Again, the big market mover today is likely the February jobs report from the government a little later this morning. There is a healthcare battle brewing in West Virginia that bears watching everywhere in the country. A vote could come today on a bill that would exempt certain hospitals from federal and state antitrust regulation. Put another way, if this legislation passes, it's possible West Virginia could become home to some big hospital monopolies. From Marketplace's health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Last fall, the Federal Trade Commission challenged the $185 million deal between Cabell Huntington Hospital and St. Mary's Medical Center. A hearing is set for next month. FTC lawyers point out the new, bigger hospital would have 75% of all inpatient admissions in the market.
This is about money. This is not about quality and caregiving. This is simply about the dollar.
That's Timothy Duke, head of Steel of West Virginia, who's bracing for 20 to 50% price hikes if the merger goes through. The FTC is on a winning streak, successfully challenging hospital mergers in half a dozen cases. And Northwestern's Lee Moore Daphne says rather than take their chances in court, this case suggests a new hospital strategy.
This legislation is a marker. It's the start of providers digging in and trying to protect themselves from laws that are designed to protect us, the end consumer.
The hospital behind the deal, Cabell Huntington, did not return a call for comment, but has argued the FTC doesn't understand the competitive landscape in West Virginia. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The theater chain AMC Entertainment wants to buy rival Carmike Cinemas in a $1.1 billion acquisition. AMC is already owned by a Chinese holding company, so the biggest movie theater chain in America could soon be based in Dalian, China. We sometimes ask musicians about the instruments they choose, but what about everyone else? As part of our occasional Pro Tools series, we're featuring people with strong opinions about the tools they use in their work. Listen to this baby. Agricultural machinery, perhaps? No, here's Marketplace listener Jonathan Jarrow, who owns, here's the hint, he owns a cafe, Harbinger Coffee, in Fort Collins, Colorado. His Pro Tool is?
An EK43 coffee grinder.
An EK43, who makes that?
So it's by a company called Malkunig out of Germany.
What does it do for you, this thing?
It basically cuts apart the coffee particles that we're going to use for brewing in a very even way. A coffee brewer in and of itself does not make good coffee. Grinders are very unique in the fact that when they're higher quality, they actually can produce higher quality coffee from a lower quality grinder to a higher quality grinder because the particle size distribution is so much better. And so, again, we achieve more evenness. We can take more from the coffee, and it can taste quite a bit better.
So with maybe a lower quality grinder, you might get a couple of big chunks mixed in there, and that's going to screw things up?
The larger chunks, which are sometimes called boulders, those can allow for flow, but don't necessarily extract very well because of the fact that they're so large. So the water can't get in there and actually take from them the flavors that we're looking to extract. Whereas on the other side of the spectrum, we have really small, tiny particles called fines, which are good and okay, but when there's too many of them, they extract too much, and then they start to bring out flavors that are less than pleasant.
Jonathan, what kind of coffee do you enjoy? My hipster friends like their coffee burnt tasting, not just dark roast, but like there was a brush fire that burned through the coffee plantation. Is that what you're into?
No, not really. I mean, really, fresh is a huge part of it. We want it to be roasted well. And yes, in general, most of the coffees we use are on the lighter end of the spectrum. But within the spectrum of, you know, good coffee, there's quite a bit of range from the beginnings of just barely roasted all the way up into the beginnings of the second crack or the beginnings of dark. That can be really good and really tasty. And the question is, you know, how did you get there with the roast? Not necessarily what's the specific degree of roast.
All right, his pro tool is the EK43 Malkönig Sirius coffee grinder. Jonathan Jarrow, owner of Harbinger Coffee in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Later today at marketplace.org, if you're over there, there's a director's cut of the conversation where Jonathan there extols the virtues of instant coffee. Question mark, exclamation point, question mark. Do you use a tool in your work you would argue is the best? Marketplace.org/contact if you want to let us know. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. Stephanie Hughes does Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.